Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Oh, not only is he going to tip the card on Caulfield Cup Day, he's going to find us the winner of the Everest as well. Sharknado, how are you?
I think I've got colic.
Oh, stop it.
I think I do. I just Googled it. I think that's what's happening.
It is. Caulfield Cup Everest Eve. How can you not be 100%?
I don't know. I don't know.
We don't.
But look, I'm trying to get there. I'm going to fire up. In the next hour, I'll fire right up.
We don't want excuses.
Half the card last week.
We don't want excuses. We want winners. Guess what?
Don't skip over that.
Half the card last week. That's true. Right. That's yesterday's news. We're talking about tomorrow. We go forward.
Now, last week was a good week. One good week, one bad week.
No, don't start that. Do you know who? We need someone to give you some inspiration, and I can't think of any better horse whisperer or someone that can fire anyone up than the maestro James Cummings.
Oh,
he may even have a remedy for you as well. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you going?
Can you help Mick Sharkey spark up a bit?
What do you do for colic, James?
Okay. Michael, get him out. Get him out for a good walk, and just keep him walking till he comes.
Oh, dearie me. James, tomorrow, arguably the biggest race day Australia has seen. And as with Chris Waller, you could be walking home at the end of the night with an Everest and a Caulfield Cup under your arm. How's the excitement of night out?
Well, to be honest, it's been a big week. And I suppose I haven't put any thought towards that. We've been quite good at containing the emotion and I suppose the expectation of it as well, and focused on what we should be, and we've just tried to be disciplined around it. So I can say it's been quite measured.
James, the other thing that you and the Godolphin team have been very good at this week are those little video clips of just the process around the Everest and things like that. It's been a fantastic little insight into the inner machinations of the organisation.
Yeah, have you enjoyed them?
Oh, very much so.
They've been brilliant. Brilliant.
They've been a bit of fun to do, you know, and I think they're really good when you actually get into the rhythm of doing it, and you forget that Balan's actually standing there with the camera, or I forget that I'm mic'd up with the mic attached to the shirt, and it's even funnier when the people I'm talking to have got no idea as well. but we've left plenty of things out, but I think all the good content there and the stuff that would really interest you to see how it might unfold is there to enjoy, and we're glad to bring people along for the journey.
Well, we'll get on to the Everest and the horse you wanted to run in the Everest and what you've got in the Everest now in a moment, but let's start with the Caulfield Cup and Hartnell. If he can win the cup tomorrow from out in the car park with 58 kilos, he will go down as one of the all-time greats. Can he win the cup tomorrow?
Well, look, it's a bit like doing the interviews all week. You ultimately find yourself trying to talk people into the horse winning. Well, you know, that's not really for me to do it. I think that the horse has had a great preparation, and we couldn't have been more pleased with the way he's been applying himself. And with the with one of the final chances for Hartnell to have an attempt to make an attempt at 2400 metres, it's a very, very important race for him to get that opportunity. And look, we're quite enthusiastic about giving him his opportunity to do that.
Thought process around stepping him back out to a staying trip, James? Because we haven't seen him out over or beyond 2,000 metres since he ran in the Melbourne Cup back in 2017.
So the thought process was that you go on feedback from riders and your staff and your jockeys each and every day on the horse, each and every trial and run. And I have just had more and more encouragement from Hugh Bowman and from Brad Brawilla and Craig Williams riding the horse this preparation, and his work riders like Sean's just delighted with him in the mornings, and Reg is over the moon with the way he's held his condition. I've had more and more encouragement not to be lowering our sights with him, and to find races where there's plenty of pressure, and that he's able to get out of more ground now, because he's the sort of horse that you can tailor a preparation towards what sort of feedback he's giving, and that's the line we've taken with him, and this is the race we've ended up in.
What do you do from 13 with him?
Well, look, Hartnell's got some tactical gate speed. I also note that a number of the international runners do enjoy getting back. That's not to say we're going to drive up there. He sat many lengths off the lead to win an Epsom over a mile 12 months ago with a big weight, and he's settled back in the past. So he's got the versatility for us to consider that in the next little while.
Well, it could be a fairy tale finish, because there's probably not too many more starts left for the old grand campaigner, who has won more than $7 million in prize money at 9 years of age. He's still racing well. He is an absolute marvel. What about the Everest? Elise Trekking. And in those little fly-on-the-wall documentaries, it seemed like you would rather have had Bivouac in the race.
Yeah, well, she's flying. I've just watched Bivouac complete a jump out this morning at Flemington, and look, we're talking about good horses, and it's a good horses race. So we've ended up with Elise in the race, and we're very, very pleased to see her respond beautifully to the campaign we've set out for her. She's freshened up brilliantly since competing well in the Memsey, stormed home, running on strongly from an impossible spot. But that was just the way it worked out on the day, and I think that the run over 7 furlongs has strengthened her up nicely for the high-pressure 6-furlong event tomorrow.
She travels into her races so strongly, and then, you know, we've seen her in Sydney so many times, first and second up, just cruise up to them and let down. Do you think that gives her an advantage in a high-pressure race, that she may be one of the last to come under pressure?
Yeah, I think her turn of foot gives her a big advantage. I think her racing pattern, sooner or later we're going to see an Everest that turns on its head in a high-pressure sprint race, and we'd love to see it for the sakes of both of our runners that it does this time, and that is that the back mark has really come into it. I think that she can definitely make an impression if that's the way that it unfolds. And it'll depend on the pace, and it'll depend on when the sprint goes on. But I think that could be a big advantage so long as we get that scenario.
James, a huge day for the stable. Give us your best in Melbourne and your best in Sydney.
I haven't really thought about it. I tell you what, Hartnell in Melbourne.
Oh.
And Elise in Sydney.
Punters aren't happy with that, because you're normally such a good judge. You always find something for us.
I haven't been beaten with those tips yet.
fair call. Hey, good luck tomorrow, James.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
James.
Cheers.
Cummings. I'd love to see Hartnell win, but we're going to look at the Caulfield Cup now. We'll have a chat to David Hayes in a moment as well, but... Mm. That barrier, that weight, it would be a Herculean performance, wouldn't it?
It would be, but he's a class act, isn't he? And he's here, he's been here for a number of years now. We know he's been elite. Whether he's just a length off that, his preparation, or whether he is looking for the 2,400 metres. That, you know, if he wins tomorrow, we'll all be kicking ourselves that he hadn't been running badly this time around. Maybe he was just looking for that extra trip. I think you throw him in the quaddie, sheerly, because he's just such a class act.
Big weight has been carried to victory in recent years. 57.5 Best Solution last year, 58 Admire Racti in 2014, 58 Dunedin in 2012, and then you go back to Northland 2002.
Yeah, you can do it.
58, so you can do
you
it.
You can do it.
Trenny Langscale from the Tab joins us as well. Trent, give us the full Caulfield Cup market and the best backed.
Michael, in odds order, we'll go with Finch, who's the $5.50 favourite, Titan from $6 this morning. Murder Glass and Mr. Quickie, both at $8. Constantinople, $8.50. Vow and Declare, as short as $8 yesterday, now $9. Mustagia, $13. The Chosen One, $16. Mirage Dancer, $17. Prince of Aaron, Fourth Emergency, $19. Hartnell and Wolf, both $21. Rostropovich, $23, along with Goldmount. Brimham Rocks, $26. Kafila, $34. Red Verdon, Crown Prosecutor. They're both 41. True Self, the third emergency, 51. Big Duke at the 51 mark as well. Angel of Truth, 61. Nerf Bosk, the second emergency, 81. Sound, the first emergency, 101. And it's been really wide open since the barrier draw on Wednesday night, Michael. I would say at the moment, the best supported, even though it has been as short as 8 out to 9, Vow and Declare.
Yeah, not surprising. He's run a good barrier, and there's a lot of support for Vow and Declare. Sharky, how's this race going to be run? Is it going to be a genuine tempo? We know they normally go quick out of the straight, and then they usually put the anchor going down the side. With Wolf now in the race, is this going to ensure a genuine tempo?
Well, Wolf is one of few horses with recent winning form that's drawn well in the race. Mm. A lot of the better chances have drawn wide. That's been much spoken about in the last few days. Wolf will go forward. I think he's most likely the leader, I would think. I don't know if Bo Mertens is going to be keen to rip along in front. I think he'll try and control the speed. You'll have horses like Angel of Truth from 14 going forward. We heard that Finch probably has to go forward as well.
But he doesn't want to lead, Chris Wallace.
No, he doesn't want to lead.
He said, I don't want to be up outside the lead because he doesn't want to risk barbecuing him before a Melbourne Cup.
Mm, that's a good point. But if you're going forward from, where is he drawn? 19, and you come into 15. You're probably going to have a few inside you kicking up trying to hold a position. So you're either going to be wide or continuing to roll forward. So
what's the Japanese horse do? Murder Glass?
It's back.
It'll go back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barrier is of little consequence.
Rostropovich, you'd imagine, would probably press forward.
I think he will press forward as well from 18. I think that's probably a good move for him too, because in Europe, when you go back and look at his three-year-old form, his best performances were coming when he was on speed. So I don't think the barrier is a big issue for that horse. Yeah, I think it'll be a similar scenario with Caulfield Cups of years past, that there'll be a bit of pressure early into that first corner as they all jostle and try and get into a reasonable position, and then they might slow up down the back. I think if you can get cover for the majority of the race, you'll do well with that wind. It sounds like it's going to be quite fierce coming into the straight. You want a strong animal over that last 400.
Can Finch win if he is stuck out, which is most likely going to be the case unless we get an absolute blinder of a ride from Michael Walker,
yep,
that you'd imagine the best that he could hope for is three wide with cover if they don't want to press on and sit outside the lead.
Yeah, and I'll get splinters in my bum with this answer, because I'm not going to say he can't win purely because Michael Walker is an exceptional talent, and you could see him pulling out a career-best ride in this race from that barrier. He loves a challenge. I think Michael would suggest himself that when people sort of dismiss him or half write him off or query whether he's good enough to overcome adversity in a race, that's when he really rises to the challenge. So, no, I wouldn't say that he can't win. It's going to be difficult, particularly if that wind is having an effect on the day, but you never write off M. Walker.
Let's run through the field. Give us short answers about whether they can win. Hartnell?
Yes.
Mirage Dancer?
You know what? He could. His form is very strong in Europe this season.
Where does he sit in the run?
I think Mirage Dancer will be in the first half of the field.
Okay. Murder Glass, tell us about this Japanese galloper.
He's been taken slowly through the grades, through the handicap system, and he hit Group 3 company earlier this year. Damien Lane spoke about him during the week after those two Group 3 wins, when he beat some pretty good horses that had been flirting around Group 2, Group 1 level, going up and down the group scale there in Japan. He thought he was an ideal horse for the Caulfield Cup, and it sounded to me like his connections already had that race in the back of their mind. I think he's well handicapped in this race, and a Japanese horse that I think we'll see competing in Group 1 races in Japan not in the not-too-distant future. So he may well be well-classed in this race.
Trent, jump in with any big bets or moves on these horses as we go through. That Mustache is the E-ball winner. He will jump from 11. Caulfield Cup, is this his race?
I think he'll run well in it, but I think the Melbourne Cup is a more suitable race for him.
Rostropovich ran so well last year.
He can win this race. Finch? Nothing's gone right for him this prep.
Finch can win?
I think he can.
Goldmount's a horse that's flown under the radar? No. Red Verdon?
No.
Angel of Truth?
No.
Big Duke?
No.
Pardon me. Constantinople?
Yes.
This, I think, is one of the top three chances in the race from the form lines that he's got and the gear changes now that are going on him. You watch his replays, you hear the reports. Is that a positive or a negative in this big race here in Australia? Because he has seemed to be a horse that's not the most tractable in the UK.
He's a fascinating addition to this race this year. Ander the Hayes team, earlier in the season in the UK, he was being spoken about as one of the most gifted three-year-olds in Aidan O'Brien's team. For them to then sell this horse, it was either an offer they couldn't refuse or they saw a couple of little, maybe, I think it was application issues rather than anything around ability. He ran some great races in good form races, particularly at Ascot when he carried top weight in a strong 2,400-metre three-year-old handicap. He was very brave in defeat there. He's run behind Logician, who then goes on and wins the St. Ledger. The form is very deep. Very, very deep around this horse, and I think he's, with 53 kilos, a good gait, and Luke Nolan, who knows Caulfield better than most, I think you're foolish if you're leaving him out of a quaddie.
All right. What about Mr. Quickie? If he hadn't have run in the Turnbull, he'd probably be favourite.
Probably would. Probably the race didn't pan out for him on that occasion, that the tempo, a bit muddling, probably didn't suit him. An off day, it's unusual for Mr. Quickie. So I think you have to almost factor in this horse's consistency across the entirety of its career. Up until that race, he'd rarely run a bad one. So I think we need to put the line through that to a degree. If you go on his Maccabi Diva run, which was fantastic, and he came out and won this race, you'd be kicking yourself if you left him out.
One punter can't wait for the Moran Michael, 1,000 at 26, which was placed on July the 7th on Mr. Quickie in the pre-nominations market.
And he's still firm. He's, what, around $8?
Around that mark at the moment, yes.
Okay. Crown Prosecutor is a roughie.
Yeah, not for me.
Vow and Declare. This is a horse that seems to have garnered a lot of groundswell. The attention during the week, he's drawn beautifully. Where does he fit in for you?
He's a bit like Mustajir. I think he'll run really well, but I think he'll be at his peak for Flemington. His Turnbull run was fantastic. And I was a bit dubious on whether he would run so well in a race like that first up, but he just kept finding the line. And through the line, he was actually getting onto the heels of the first three across the line. On the score of that run and the strength of Turnbull, good runs coming into this race in the past, you'd have to have him in the mix. David Gately's tipping him, though, I think.
He is tipping him.
So I might just go against Gator.
I've just got an SMS saying, we've all got opinions, however, I'm now extremely bullish about my selection of the Caulfield Cup because Tip the Card Man says it's got no hope. I'll double
what
my
was that?
Bet. Greg from Mitchum. He didn't actually mention which horse it was.
Right, so everything I said probably couldn't win is over 20-1. So, Greg, for your sake, my very friend, I hope yours gets home.
Just to reiterate, Michael, best supported during the week, Vow and Declare on Tuesday, 2,000 at 11, and then on Wednesday, bets of 2,500 and 1,000 at $11.
I wonder what impact that little video of Danny O'Brien and Craig Williams had on the market as well, because there seemed to be a lot of chat on social media post that. With Willow, his usual effervescent self after that gallop. Did you see any movement? Like, if you looked at the time of when that video was released and when it went public, was there a shift in bets around that horse, even in the smaller bets?
Yeah, well, there was a firm after the Tab Turnbull Stakes, Sharky, and then particularly, well, was still $11 before the barrier draw.
The barrier would have been a big thing, yeah.
And it actually didn't change after the barrier draw, still was 11, but as mentioned, got into as short as 8 yesterday and now out to 9. And those bet, well, the 2,500 at 11 is one of the highest bets we've taken on the Caulfield Cup, and that includes pre-nominations all in and our final field.
All right, Brimham Rocks?
No.
The Chosen One?
No.
Kafila?
God bless him last time. Kafila? No.
Wolf?
No.
That rounds out the field for this year's Caulfield Cup. So, Sharky, give us your top three and a roughie. Best
right.
roughie.
Murder Glass is on top. I'm hoping the barrier is able to be overcome because it's a horror gate for him, really. You don't want to draw 21 in a big race. I know he comes in 4, that's fine, but you'd be more confident if you drew a nice middle gate. But he's on top, number 3. To beat Hartnell, I think he'll run a really, really good race. I think Vow and Declare will be hitting the line, and I reckon he's a place. I reckon that 3rd to 5th is what he'll be doing with a flashing light going towards the Melbourne Cup. So he's there. Best roughie, Rostropovich.
Rostropovich, best roughie. All right. I think I've got a bracket 3. I'm not sure which one I'm going to
get. There's about 7 you could pick,
Constantinople,
really.
Constantinople, Vow and Declare, and I think if Finch gets any luck, he could just be too good. But that barrier is the issue there. All right, that's our in-depth look at the Caulfield Cup. Have you got a selection, Trent?
Ooh, I'm as confused as anyone in regards to the particulars. I'm always wary about international runners the first time, but I'm confident with number 11, Constantinople, particularly with what Sharky's just said. Finch, the barrier does worry me. Good luck if you are going to find the winner, but there is also a $2 million projected first four pool on the Caulfield Cup, which will pay quite handsomely.
And if you can jag that, it will be a very good day indeed. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Friday Full Focus. When we come back, we're going to whip through the undercard on the Caulfield Cup program, and we'll find you the winner of the Everest. No better place to be than trackside at Caulfield tomorrow for the Stella Artois Caulfield Cup. First race, 12:15. Any good moves in the first, Trent?
Even though Arctic Shock is the $4.40 favourite, Michael, the biggest firmer has been Starcaster, open $6.50, now the second elect at $4.60. If you're having a fixed odds win bet through your TAB account on races 1-6 at Caulfield and Randwick tomorrow, and your horse runs second or third, bonus bet back up to $50. However, if you're betting on the TAB app using venue mode, whether it be at a TAB or you could be on track at Caulfield tomorrow, the bonus bet offer extends to second, third, fourth or fifth, and that is for all 10 races at Caulfield and Randwick tomorrow.
That is such a good offer. First five, you can get your money back up to $50 at Caulfield and Randwick if you head trackside tomorrow. Sharky, we've got another international question mark in for Starcaster. It's been backed. What's its international form like?
It's really good for a benchmark 80. Well and truly good enough to win this. Two starts ago, he ran a really good second to a horse called King's Advice. He's won something like 11 of 23 or 24. He's a really solid handicapper, King's Advice, probably flirting with listed grade. He went and ran a really nice race behind Weekender. Now, Weekender's a stakes performer who's got form around Marmello this year. So that run alone puts him into contention here. He then went to York and quickened away really easily from a similar sort of field. Over 2,400 or thereabouts. So his best form is over that longer trip, but we've seen these imports come here and be able to show ability over mile sort of races first up. He's placed over a mile early in his career. What I like most about him and what gives me the most confidence is in his Cranbourne trial, when Mark Zara just gave him a little tap, just asked him slightly to quicken. The horse quickened immediately. And the acceleration was there. He's going to need that to win over 1,700 first up, but I think he can.
Is he a bet first race? All right, the money's on.
He doesn't have to be a superstar to beat this mob.
Money's on, so it's good push when there's good money for these internationals, especially from the Friedman camp. Race number two, Trent, what's the market doing?
Well, the favourite has been one of the better backed on the card, Michael, in Pretty Brazen, who opened $4.80 on Wednesday, now heads the market at $3.30. The other that's had some sort of support, Night Express, at $5. One of the best supported, Pretty Brazen in the second.
Yeah, I'd say it'll continue to be supported. One of Dean Lester's best of the day, Pretty Brazen. We know Tony McAvoy's always had a rap on her, and gee, she just obliterated them last start at Bendigo.
She did. It was a class one. The time was good, and she won very, very easily. But this is a step up in class. I think this is probably her level. She's been tried in good races before. Tony took her up for that Millennium race earlier this year. She ran really well behind Castelvecchio in a session. That form line's comparable to this. She can win, no doubt about that. I just thought there was better value with number one, Ready, Set, Sail. A dead heater with Flit, who won the 1,000 guineas last week, of course. In the Champagne, she drew wide. Duane Dunn just went back with her. She was a long way from them. I don't think the Valley suited her at all. She got going late, and her last 200 was actually amongst the best in the race. So I think she's looking for 1,400 metres now. She draws an inside gate, which will give her cover from that wind if that is an issue. I think she'll be hard to beat. And the other one that comes through that Moonee Valley race was Charlize. Now, her Geelong maiden win was totally dominant. She went into that Champagne Group 3 level, you know, around that 20-1 mark at the SP, but she was given some sort of place chance. Just covered too much ground, was wide without cover, kept staying on. I think she'll handle the step to 1,400. She draws better this time around. She's a good chance in the race too.
All right. Might be a little tricky affair, race number two. Race number three is the Gothic. She's some nice form in this race as well. What's the market doing, Trent?
We've had a change of favouritism here, Michael, since we opened a couple of days ago. Hi-Lo went up the second elect at $4.60 and is now all the way into $3.40. Hairworn, the original favourite, is at the $4 mark. Then you're getting to $7 or better. The rest headed by Triton Rising.
I know there's been a lot of talk about high-low, scratched from the midweek to run on Saturday. I half thought James might have given it a push when I opened up the door and said, what's your best for the day? But he didn't take it. I thought Triton Rising was super last start. Draws a better barrier, and Airborne's been really good as well, Shark.
Every year, the Godolphin team, and prior to that, the Daly team, would find a horse or two to campaign towards a Carbine Club. And Hilo is, I think, that horse this year. Guinea's Prodigy run was good, finished alongside Super Seth. Didn't obliterate the line, didn't drop out, just sort of held its position in running to the post, really. A scratch from that race on Wednesday that it could have gone and won for this better event. Gets a good gate here. Damien Lane will just lob in behind the speed. You'd think he'd be in the first four on settling. The form lines beat Legionnaire, which is a listed winner. Beat South Bank, which ran third in a 1,000 guineas as well. So there's plenty of depth of form around there. I can see why the punters have gone for it. Ed of Airborne, who's got to come off wet track form and probably not the same depth around its form from its two wins. The other horse you mentioned, Triton Rising, I've got him on top just at the odds. I think he's a good each-way bet here. He's always shown that he's got sort of better-than-average talent. The form ties in around high-low going back to August. I just don't think the horse is well-positioned on that day at Lakeside when it was advantageous to be right up there on speed. His win was good at Pakenham. The Flemington run, long way back there. Nolan just had no luck in running, got onto heels, trying to come wide, and then only got out with 150 to go. I think Soul Patch was one of the better beaten runs in the guineas. At each way odds, I'm happy to play with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like him each way at around about $7, $7.50. Triton Rising, highlight, the one to beat. Race number four is the Ladbrokes Classic, one of the lead-ups to the Victoria Derby. What price is Warning? And interesting, speaking to Danny O'Brien yesterday, they've decided to take this route with Miami Bound, who is their Oaks contender.
Well, with Warning on the equal second line of betting, Michael, currently at $4.40, did open $5, but you've got Miami Bound at the top of the market and has been reasonably firm at $2.80. Again, Warning at $4.40, along with Thought of That, who have both been $5 into $4.40. Then there is a gap to Huntley Castle, the best of the others, at $10.
Fillies have won this race a couple of times, going back to Fonten Ruby and Sacred Eye in 2014, 2015. Do you give Miami Bound a good hope tomorrow, or are you sticking with the Colts?
Yeah, she's a good filly. She'll be hard to beat, and again, an inside gate gives her cover from that wind. She'll be hard to beat in this race, but I don't think it's as clear-cut as she's just better than them. I don't know if there's a lot between this field. Serengeti's a nice horse coming through the Stud Stakes when he didn't have any luck at all. Was only a length and a half from the Holy One. I think he should have pushed that winner with a clear run. We know that Trev Dalroy breeds horses to excel at 2,000 metres. This one's out of a pretty good filly, Gondokoro, who was good in an Oaks going back a few seasons ago now, so it can improve and be in the finish. Huntley Castle's ready to win. His two runs, Caulfield, Flemington, have been excellent. He was behind Warning, who was better with the shades going on last time. He found the form that we'd heard from the stable that he was showing at home. Power Scheme, I think you can forgive the Stud Stakes one run when nothing went right for him. Bigger track, more ground, I think that will suit him. I think it's a really open race for Sacred Tip.
Thought of
Huntley
That?
Castle. Thought of That.
It was phenomenal at Donald. I know we're Donald. Talking Donald, but it won by 8.
It did. Prior to that, it was getting touched up in Sale and Ballarat Maidens. If it comes out and wins tomorrow, well, I didn't see that coming. But yeah, I'd be working around that. I think there are others that he's improving all the time, but I think there are others right here, right now, that may be a bit better. And we can only work on what we know, not looking into the future and knowing how good this horse may or not, may not be.
So you wouldn't touch Miami Bound at 280?
No, I probably wouldn't bet in the race, to be honest. I just think she's unders and it's an even lot. Going to 2,000 for, well, the first time.
All right. Race number five is the Alinghi Stakes, and a couple of the Blue Army dominate the market here, Trent.
They do here, Michael, although Soothing has just been a little easy as the favourite, 260 to 280. You have Demerara at 460 and has been pretty solid at that price. The Tightener, though, has been, well, Prophet's Thumb has been 550 to 480 and to a lesser extent, Hummer Hummer, 750 to 6.
All right, Prophet's Thumb was really good winning at Caulfield last start. And an SMS here says, gee, it'd be great to see Rostropovich win for D Dunn after losing his old man during the week. We'll be cheering him on. And it's a great text. I concur wholeheartedly. Our thoughts are with Dwayne Dunn, who took a couple of days off during the week with the loss of his father. And he's back tomorrow. And he's also on Prophet's Thumb in this race.
Some good speed in this race, working from home. Vinnie Kunkka, Victory Kingdom, if she begins, I think they'll all be up there. Soothing will get back. Prophet's Thumb will get back. Demerara will get back. I think the strength is with those run-on horses, but it's whether they're going to be able to get out and negotiate the traffic and get clear at the right time. That's the query. Victory Kingdom wouldn't have to, you know, improve much on its very best form to win this race. She just seems to be doing a little bit wrong this time around. I think if she begins well, she's a little blowout in this race. Other than that, between the favourites, I think Prophet's Thumb has got the more dynamic turn of foot. And we saw at Caulfield last time, 1100. She was able to hold a position sort of just off midfield, where I think Soothing is probably more likely to get further back in the run.
Have you seen much of Vinnie at the jump outs or trials?
Vinnie Kunkka trialled up back in September and beat Brave Song home. And Brave Song is, you know, he's a pretty good Group 3 class open sprinter. Three-year-old filly, she had his measure comfortably on the line, since jumped out and gone well again. So she is a really hard one to assess in this race, because her debut win was narrow, but she was very tough there when challenged in that race. Blue Diamond Prelude run behind Lyre was excellent, and just Diamond run didn't go well for her. But she is very, very hard to line up in this race. There are a few races like this on the card where there's just a curveball thrown
it's
in there.
Tough,
you think, what the heck?
Lane.
What the heck? How do we assess this horse? How do we assess Vinnie Kunkka against older mares? She's not well weighted with 56, really. She'd be better off under a weight for age scale. But yeah, she's a classy filly, clearly.
And Victory Kingdom, you want to have a look at her in a mounting yard, see how she handles the build-up as well.
She just fires up.
She can go off.
And then misses starts. And yeah, she does a lot wrong, but there is a lot of natural ability there. It's a really tough race. I'm glad it's not a leg of the quarter.
And no punting then?
No.
Okay. Race number 6 is the New Zealand Bloodstock Ethereal Stakes. And this is one of the traditional lead-ups to the Oaks. Gee, I'm interested to see what the market's doing with the Vegas Jewel here from the Mark Cavanagh stable. What's the market say, Trent?
Well, Michael, there hasn't been a significant firm for any filly in particular. You have Celestial Falls, who's solid as the $3.50 favourite. Similar for Vegas Jewel, just 5 out to 5.50. Snap Dancer at 7, and then it's $9 or better, headed by Oriental Lily. But the punters, they really haven't gone for one particular runner here in the Ethereal Stakes.
Typical of an Ethereal, it's pretty open.
Oh, yeah.
But Vegas Jewel's the up-and-comer, isn't she? She was awesome at the Valley.
Well, she's one of a half a dozen or so up-and-comers in this race. There's so many unexposed fillies in this race. And you're looking at
yours,
their form and thinking, ooh, geez, you know, how good is this thing? Snap Dancer's fits into that same conversation.
14 to 2,000's a bit unusual.
It is, but we think she'll run it. She's out of a Galileo mare, and when we bought her, every indication was that she was going to get over a trip in time. She looks like she's going to continue to go that way. It was a toss-up between 1,000 Guineas last weekend and this race. Kieran and David decided that she's all her work, her running style, that she might be suited going forward and being really tough over 2,000. So she's she's very raw, but she's got the ability, we believe, to be right in the finish of this race. This is a very, very tough event. We saw in Celestial Falls win at Flemington the likes of Cape Leopard at 100-1 charging to the line from behind her, having had only one start before that. You know, that sort of rapid improvement, you can see that with these lightly raced spring staying horses in the Colts division and the fillies. For that reason, looks a total raffle to mine. Vegas Jewel, the horse you mentioned, the ground that it covered at Moonee Valley to loop that field and win from the back, I love seeing that, particularly at the Valley. I think there was real merit to the win. I've got her on top, but you know what? There's about 6 or 7 here that wouldn't shock me if they won.
No, exactly right. Will it be good speed? I know Atame's drawn wide. We'll
Atame,
go forward.
Yeah, Celestial Falls. You'd expect both of those to roll forward. I think a horse like... I just went past it. Ocean Mist can hold a position as well from Barrier 11. I don't think they want to be too far away there. Fiorente's Girl from an inside gate. She was midfield at Tatura over 16, but I've got the feeling that she's got a little bit more speed to be handy. There are quite a few of them, I think, that we'll see maybe improve their position on previous runs. Snap Dance is another one in that boat that will go forward.
All right, so would you be backing Vegas Jewel at 5.50?
Oh, again, it's probably a race that I'm not brave enough to have a bet in, Michael, because I think she's a good filly and she can really elevate and go and win this race and put herself forward as an Oaks contender. But it's a tough day tomorrow. I don't know if I want to be shooting bullets off in a 15-horse open race where something at 20s
might
proceed. It's
Caulfield Cup Day. Have
a
crack, son.
There's other races around the country,
it's
Michael.
It's hard to tip the card if you're not going to provide a tip.
I'm not on your massive Channel 10 budget. You know, some of us are still working hard day in, day out.
Have we had a bet,
you know,
so far, Trent?
Fighting colic.
Is there a race he's had a bet in so far?
Yeah, Starcaster in the first.
Up to $50
bonus bet. What are we
going to
do? The first race.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Is at $12.50.
Your little up to fifth thing. All right, let's back Vegas.
$50 Jewel, bucks
then.
In every race. Exactly.
$50 in every race. How much money do you think I've got?
If you finish first five... You get your money back. Have another crack.
Well, Vegas Jewel.
Up to 50. Be
Vegas
at Tab,
Jewel, then.
Be at Caulfield.
Gee whiz.
So right. You can see how I'm easily led, can't you? I was not betting 2 seconds ago. Now I'm backing Vegas Jewel and hoping she flops into fifth.
And I can't believe you're betting against your filly Snap Dancer. That doesn't give the other owners
much. I know. We'll back it as well because half of the ball and footy club's in this. And I've got to see a couple of them at lunch and they'll lynch me if I don't say I'm backing her. So I'm backing her,
you've
boys.
You potted your own horse. I can't believe it.
Oh, the phone's lit up already. Oh. All right, Lukey Barker, settle down.
Race number six is the first leg of the quaddy. It's the McCafe Caulfield Sprint. All right, Trini boy, we need a hand with the quaddy. What's the market doing?
Well, the top two in the market, they have received the most support. Miss Leonidas, 460 to 380, and God of Thunder, 5 into 460. And then after that, it's 750 or better the rest, headed by Not Enough Effort, but the main concentration on Miss Leonidas and God of Thunder.
Well, if nature strips a chance in the Everest, Miss Leonidas should be winning this, shouldn't she?
You would think so. Before we get into this, I just noticed Damien Ratcliffe is tweeting a minute ago. Jared McLean has been unsuccessful in the injunction bid stopping Racing Victoria from using materials seized by Vic Police.
Well, that is good, that breaking news. Not surprising, to say the least, though, after what's transpired. So there you go. Jared McLean's appeal has been denied.
Mm. Now, where were we?
Miss Leonidas, is she a good start to the quaddy?
She'll be hard to beat. $3.80. I don't think she's a lock. I think Tactical Advantage might be suited by the speed in this race. I'm Immortal, Miss Leonidas, etc. There's a bit of McLaren as well as the three-year-old down the bottom. He's got good pace as well. I think there'll be plenty of speed in the race. It might suit Tactical Advantage. A horse will sit off them. Damien Oliver takes the ride. He can get going late and get into contention. He's a good each-way bet in this race.
I think I said race six. Race seven is the start of the quaddy, obviously,
seven.
Which is what we're talking about.
We did race six.
How many do we need in this first leg, then?
Look, we're going to go thick early in this quaddy, or relatively so. 1, 3, 4, 10.
1, 3, 4, and 10.
Crystal Dreamer. I know David Moody's had a lot of good horses. Crystal Dreamer's probably not in the conversation for the best of those. He just reminds me a bit of Flamberge, you know? He's probably not of that Group 1 quality that Flamberge was, but he's very, very consistent. He's tough. He races on speed. You know, you've got to throw him in quaddies because he loves this track.
Pat Comerford, who calls so well and also is ordained to do weddings up in the Alice, has just said, if Shark doesn't tip his horse like Kingswell Dream, it must be immoral. So it could be good for Snap Dancer. Because you didn't give Kingswell Dream any hope, did you?
I didn't say he had no hope.
You didn't put him in the quaddy. No, you didn't.
Yeah, what are we, race eight, Michael? We're on time restrictions here. We better move on here.
All right, now this is one runner I do want your in-depth international info on. Because Royal Meeting, if it turns up anywhere near what it has in its first two starts, it's got to be a good thing, doesn't it? What price is it, Trent?
$3.40 at the present time. Michael did open $3.60. Land of Plenty has had admirers 6 into 5. And then the others, they've pretty much kept their price in single figures, noting Desert Lord at 5 and also Streets of Avalon at 6.50. About 40% of the support is for Royal Meeting.
We had Pat Cosgrave in the studio early in the week. I asked him about it. He said, look, I haven't seen him down at Werribee, but he said it was a potential star in its two starts.
Yeah, he was.
It's had a throat issue, a wind issue since.
Yeah.
But gee whiz, if it's anywhere near the Group 1 winning form it's had beating a horse like Hermosa, it's not the strongest Moonga, is it?
No, it's not. If he turns up in good form, he'll win this race, but we're guessing because we're only going off a few moderate pieces of work.
Is there any mail out of Werribee?
No. I don't know what's going on at Werribee this year. Usually Usually there's some really strong conversation from the track watchers and whatnot, but I've heard virtually nothing since these horses arrived. Anyway, on the strength of his Group 1 win, he is well and truly in this race. If he's in good form, he'll be winning it. Hermosa went and won two Group 1s and has been placed in about two or three more since that win. And Grains, who was third, has also been really competitive to Group 1 standard. So it's the best form in the race, Royal Meeting. He won't have to be a superstar to win this. Others for the quaddy, Streets of Avalon comes back to probably his right grade after good runs in the Rupert Clark and then the Toorak. Just wasn't his cup of tea. Probably a mile, a touch too far for him. 1,400 metres Caulfield. We know he goes so well at that track and trip. Variation. Look, we've seen Push and Shapes win. We've seen Gatting win. I think Variation has been well placed here by Stephen Miller. I think it's a good target for him. He has to be in the mix. Damien Oliver taking the ride. Desert Lord, that's the other one. Bill Ritchie run was great. Third behind Fierce Impact, who comes with the two rack.
What about Tom?
Tom? Tom who?
Tom Melbourne.
Oh, Tom Melbourne. No, leave him out.
Michael Walker spoke very highly.
He did.
Of Tom Melbourne yesterday.
Do you know what? He's a really good horse, but he runs a place more often than he wins.
What about any money at all?
Do you know what he is? He's a percentage wrecker. Because you throw him in a quaddie. And here's a soundbite for Mikey to run next week after Tom Melbourne wins. But he's a percentage wrecker because you put him in because he's so consistent. He doesn't win and you end up with 2 or 3% less in your quaddie than what you should have had. That will guarantee Tom Melbourne winning tomorrow.
I was going to say, tomorrow is Tom's day.
Well, it is now. As soon as I've said that.
What numbers
in the... We know how this show works.
What numbers in the quad?
We know how things work around here. 1, 2, 4, 8, 9.
1, 2, 4, 8, 9. But are you putting Royal Meeting on top? Are you having your $50 on Royal Meeting?
And I'll take another quaddy with it, one out.
Really? Okay. Yep. 1, Land of Plenty. 2, Royal Meeting. 4, Streets of Avalon. 8, Variation. And 9, Desert Lord. And the other one, Royal Meeting, is one out. Just recap your selections in the Caulfield Cup for the listeners, and then I want your quaddy numbers as well.
Caulfield Cup. Murder Glass, number 3 on top. I give Hartnell a really good chance at odds each way. And third, really hard to split, Vow and Declare, Constantinople.
Well, Constantinople, I'm glad you mentioned that name because it's perfect timing. We've got David Hayes on the line. He's got three really nice chances in the Caulfield Cup. And Constantinople's probably the biggest question mark. After winning the Group 1 with the International last week, I'm sure he's pretty confident heading into the Cup. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, I've been out at your property and you were talking to me about Constantinople a couple of weeks ago saying that he could be the best international out here this spring carnival. How's his build-up been the past week?
Look, he's had a really nice build-up. He hasn't missed a beat. He's moved into Flemington seamlessly without a problem. And before he got to Flemington, he was working with his stablemate who won the Caulfield Stakes, so that was good form. And I think he's got lovely level of fitness on him. And if he gets around Caulfield, he'll run a good race.
Gear changes, David. There's a few of them here. Is that off sort of a bit of reconnaissance from Europe and the suggestion during the European season that this horse maybe mentally is not quite mature, although he's blessed with a ton of ability?
Look, the reason I was able to buy him was because at his last couple of starts, he'd run around a bit in the straight, but I saw that as a positive because he didn't have a ring bit on, he didn't have winters on or blinkers. So I just felt in the Caulfield Cup, we'll try winters on him to see. His training suggests he's not going to run about, but under race pressure, he may do because that's what he's done in the past. But I thought the winters, a little subtle gear change, might straighten him up. And if it backfires, it doesn't work, I'll take them off for the Melbourne Cup.
I know that the Melbourne Cup's always there in the back of the mind, and that's what the horse has been bought for, but his form reads so, so well for a Caulfield Cup. He can win it on ability, but have you got him really ready to rock and roll tomorrow?
We haven't pushed the button too much, except he's done a little bit more work. He's had the extra week than Take a Good Hope. He's had a very similar build-up to him. I was a little bit concerned at whether he's not training him too hard because of the few breakdowns last year. This year, there's been no breakdowns, and Werribee has actually been going beautifully for them.
Just a bit windy out there, Dave.
There'll be lovely natural improvement, I think, of course, and we'll learn a bit about him and the gear changes. I think this is the right race to try around Caulfield to Winkus.
Is it true Cape of Good Hope couldn't keep up with Constantinople?
No, that's not true.
It's a good story.
Cape of Good Hope worked very well alongside him. And in England, Constantinople couldn't keep up with Cape of Good Hope in the work we did. And in Australia, they were worked on terms. They were very even. So that tells me that Constantinople has continued to improve.
Now, while we're on the rumour mill, is it true that Rostropovich beat Constantinople in a gallop?
Yeah, they worked at Flemington on Saturday morning. Constantinople first gallop at Flemington, straight out of quarantine into a gallop. Worked very, very well. But Rostropovich had him covered. But I put that down to one, Rostropovich is going very well and he's a good worker. But he knew where he was galloping. He'd been on the course proper before and had an advantage in that regard. But what I loved about the work with the pair of them, instead of taking 400 metres to pull up, they took 800, which tells me they're really ready. Galileo's really ready to stay. Rostropovich has been set for it. I was very confident about him, but a little bit concerned from the barrier. He'll need a bit of luck going forward.
A heap of gear changes with that horse as well, and the tongue tie comes off. Does that mean we won't see his big tongue flopping around the side of his face in the run?
No, I think you'll see that. Even when you saddle him up, his big tongue comes out. So it's a bit like you when you walk past a good sort.
Tongue ties don't help there either.
No, look, he seems very comfortable in the Norton Bennett. We've had a lot of luck. He's always raced in the crossover tongue tie, and I just thought he's been in that for a long time and we'll make a change, and we always train him in the Norton bit and he seems very happy in it. So I thought, why not run him in it?
Well, you've got Kefila as well. Who's your top pick in the Cup?
Oh, too hard. Kefila's run, I thought, was terrific because it was very much like Boomtime's race. They went 200 mile an hour to set up by the swoopers, and she was jumping from 1,700 to a mile and a half, and we were using that race because she backed up so well for the quick backup. Like Boomtime, and look, she probably needs to lift a little bit, but it wouldn't surprise me if she really improved from that barrier, Corey Parrish. There's a lot of things similar. Long shots can win the race.
Yeah, you know that only too well.
But if you had to say to me, before barriers, I would have said Rostropovich. After barriers, probably Constantinople. I think he's a very smart horse.
All right. A best on the day for the punters out there?
Oh, gee whiz. At a bit of value. Power scheme each way.
In the Ladbrokes Classic, race 4, number 1. Thanks, David. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
David Hayes trying to win the Caulfield Cup for the final time as a trainer because he'll be in Hong Kong next
final
year.
Final time?
Yeah, he won't be back training in his own name after next year. He's in Hong Kong.
What, ever?
Forever.
Forever, ever?
He'll retire to the chairman of the board, is how he declares it, and then he will come back as the chairman of Lindsay Park, and his sons and Tom will be training underneath him.
You know what that means.
He's throwing everything at it. Give us your quaddy numbers.
Quaddy numbers. A little bit wide here. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 11, 12.
1, Hartnell. 2, Mirage Dancer. 3, Murder Glass. 5 is Rostropovich. 6, Finch. 11, Constantinople. 12, Mr. Quickie. And your top pick in the Caulfield Cup is Mer de Glass. So, all right, let's get to the last race and then we'll take a break and come back with the Everest. We all want the winner of the Tristark Stakes. Who's the favourite, Trent?
Pahutakawa is the favourite at $4.60. Angelic Ruler, $5.50. The others in single figures, Savatiano and Baccarat Baby, $7.50 and $8 respectively. Really tough the last year, Michael.
Whip through this, Sharky. How do we come home?
We're going to be brave here in the last.
Oh.
1, 6 and 7 will be the quaddy numbers. But if the wind is having a big impact at this stage of the day, I would risk Savatiano and throw in Baccarat Baby instead. Pahutakawa's the top pick. I thought she should have probably got closer to Hawker on her in the Blazer last time. She hit the line really well. She's on track for wherever they want to send her. I assume it's an Empire Rose. She'll be very hard to beat in that race. When she gets there, she should run really well here, and she's my top pick.
Pahutakawa on top in the last 1, 6, and 7 in the quaddie. We're going to take a break. Back with the Everest after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Oh, what a huge day it is in Sydney tomorrow. The TAB Everest, $14 million. You can't have missed it. Plus, they've got the Kosciuszko. They've got plenty of other races. Brutal going around. Huge prize money on offer. Who's the best backed in the TAB Everest, Trent?
I would say at the moment it is Katie Queen, since the barriers were unveiled on Tuesday night, Michael. Now a $4.60 equal favourite with Santa Ana Lane. Parada has been easy, now at the $6 mark at $9.50. Red Zell and Yes, 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 Elise, the best of the other sprinters at $13.
$4.60, Acadia Queen in the Everest over 1,200. Mm. Wow. She looks like a superstar. Is she a superstar, Sharky?
Yes, she is. I think she's probably the best horse in the country.
Mm. Over 1,200?
Whether she can drop back and trip and beat the very best sprinters, it's a real challenge for her. She's been set a task here, but if she comes through and does it, I think there's no question as to her status on the Australian racing scene. I think she can do it. I think she gets a lovely run here. Gate 3, she'll just be covered up behind the speed, which you would assume would be brisk with Nature Strip in the race. She'll be finishing very, very strongly. I think she can win.
Yeah, we've seen the last couple of Everests have been steadily run with Red Zell leading. Do you think it'll be a different run Everest tomorrow?
Well, Nature Strip's in there. I don't think steady is in his vocabulary, is it? I think there'll be genuine speed in the race, which is great because it brings every horse into the race. Like Nature Strip goes best when he is allowed to run. Santa Ana Lane goes best when he can close off a strong tempo. Likewise, Pirata. I think Classic Legend will appreciate a strong pace on top of the ground. Wouldn't shock me if he was able to cause a minor upset, because I think he's probably the next elite sprinter in this country. Elise, as we spoke to James Cummings before, can really lob behind a good gallop and cruise along and run into a race. Sensational race.
It is a cracking race. Unbelievable. Barrier 1 and 2 for Pirata, Santa Ana Lane. Is that a good
Well, they'll be back and inside, won't they? It depends if horses want to get off the fence and whether they fan on the corner. You'd think they'd have to go back and come right around them. If they want to ride for luck, there's going to be some anxious moments for their connections, but both of them are good enough to overcome a gate like that with the right run.
Santa Ana Lane's $4.60 equal favourite. Sunlight's $14. Mm-hmm. Is she forgotten about?
Yeah. Whether she's going quite as well as she was earlier in the year, I think there might be a little query on that. You throw him into the mix, 10 sovereigns, the visitor from Ireland. He's won a couple of Group 1s. His Newmarket July Cup win was very, very good. If he brings that form, he is right in this.
Do you give Yes, Yes, Yes any chance?
I don't know if it's the right race for Yes, Yes, Yes.
And what about Red Zell? Can he make it 3 in a row?
Bit of giving the ground would be good for him, wouldn't it? That's when he's gone at his absolute best at this sort of level. You can't write him off, though, because he is the 2-time champion of this race. Absorbs pressure, absorbs speed, and keeps giving. He is a marvellous horse.
All right, give us your top four in the Everest.
Top four? Boy, oh boy.
It's a big race.
Arcadia Queen on top, number 11, to beat Santa Ana Lane 1, Elise 8, Classic Legend 6.
All right. Got any best bets in Sydney outside of the Everest?
What
$1.85 brutal?
Yeah, well, he should be winning, shouldn't he? Race 9, Trent, what price is Youngstar in the St. Ledger?
9 the win, 3 the place.
Yeah, each way there. I'll dabble with her as the best.
All right, that was Chris Waller's best as well.
Was it?
At value.
See, good judges.
It did take him a while to find one. He was struggling. It might have been the first name that popped into his head.
Right.
All right.
I'll take
Caulfield
that,
Cup Day. Give us your best at the Heath.
I'm going to back Starcaster in race 1, Michael.
That's it. That's your day.
Well,
outside of the $50 bonus bet back, that may be your only bet of the day.
Well, I don't know if that's true, because if you get off to a good start,
well, I'll
be...
It's rude not to reinvest.
I'll be flying after that.
What price, Starcaster?
Starcaster in the first at Caulfield is $4.60.
Excellent. Sharky, good luck to you. Good luck, all punters. What's your best of the day, Trent?
I will go with Hilo in the third on the card.
Hilo, okay, yeah. I think Hilo's a good chance. I'm going to have a little something each way. Triton Rising at 7.750 in the Gothic. And then good luck to all runners in the Caulfield Cup. Vow de Clare, Finch, and Rostropovic, maybe Constantinople. I've got no idea. We'll work it out tomorrow. I'll give you my tip. 10 o'clock when we're live from Caulfield in the Mounting Yard. Peter Moody, be fascinating to get his insights on Mr. Quickie. Also, Matty Stewart. We'll be speaking to the pumper, Jimmy Cassidy, and a host of other stars will join us at Caulfield tomorrow. Good luck, gents. Good luck, listeners, on whoever you select in the Caulfield Cup. Back a winner coming up next. Let's build the bank.